What is going down, everyone? It's time for Mojo Break the Hype, episode 285. Prism Monopoly. Yeah, it's a real thing. Get out your Hasbro, play mats. Get ready for that. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Bowman, the last 10 years of Bowman baseball, some of the big names that maybe weren't necessarily the big names when it came out, but tend to be the biggest names now. Dive into that as we get ready for Bowman, which is next week. Next Wednesday, we're going to be doing over 20 cases on release day. You can go ahead and get your spots now at mojobreak.com. There's a nice little Bowman link right on the front page that you can click on, or just click baseball and find the break that you want to get into, whether it be a pick your team, a random, hobby case, jumbo case, four box break. We're going to have it all for Bowman release day, which also leads to my one of the announcements I've been looking forward to make all day is our Mojo Baseball Breaking channel. All baseball, all day, where you get all your Topps content, your Panini baseball while it lasts, but mostly your Topps baseball content. And we're going to be doing something special next week. On Tuesday, we're going to do free packs. We're going to have Joe Staley in the house. We're going to be having a lot of fun getting ready for Bowman and getting you guys to subscribe. So go ahead and hit subscribe. It's at Mojo Baseball on Instagram or on YouTube. Go ahead and lock it up now so that you're ready for the event and get ready to watch some great baseball breaks. And I wanted to talk to C-Rad about Dynasty. You've been doing some Dynasty.
Yes, sir.
And it seems to be, you know, hit or miss a little bit, but when you hit big, man, those cards are fantastic.
Yeah, dude, we hit a big patch auto Michael Jordan. I mean, Mike Trout.
You call him Michael Jordan Trout, that's why.
Yeah. For all the everybody that breaks with us, like, I like to call him Michael Jordan Trout. But yeah, beautiful patch auto. The case that I did, you know, they are hit and miss. Some of them are like you get some of the
You don't need to talk about the first case that you did. I mean, we're not here to be doom and gloom. I mean, every case has got bangers, right?
Well, I will say it's one of my favorite designs of Dynasty that they've done in a while. And don't get me wrong, it's always a beautiful product, but I do like they try to get a little fancy this year. And I've also noticed, like, this year just in general for 2022 and moving to 2023, it seems like Fanatics is definitely thinking about designs of the cards more lately since this.
Yeah, because when Dynasties went through like black and white, some sepia tones. I think the very first year I remember an Evan Longoria specifically that we owned was like a sepia toned, and it was nice. But now I think you got the perfect blend of color, high end. It almost reminds me of a little bit of exquisite, you know, little bit of exquisite coloring that they've got on there with the hollow foil and all game use stuff, which is nice. So you're getting some fantastic patches. I know you pulled an Abreu 101 with the Jackie Robinson patch on it.
Beautiful Jackie Robinson. That's right. I did pull that. Oh, man. I almost forgot about that one. But, yeah, that was a sick pat for Jackie Robinson patch.
So, yeah, we still got more Dynasty, guys. It is going to be rocking on mojobreak.com, player breaks. We also going to have
more
mixers
randoms
with it as well.
More random numbers, too.
But I wanted to – Dan, Draymond Green, we're going to flip it to basketball before we get into our Bowman talk. And let's try to take our Homer hats off here. But Draymond Green is going to be suspended on Thursday. Do you think that suspension was right?
I don't think anybody in the league gets suspended for that that's not named Draymond Green.
Absolutely.
I'll be honest. Like, if Draymond played for any other team – I'd be on board with everybody else. I'd be like, I can't stand the guy. But he's one of those guys that, like, if he plays for your team, you absolutely love the antics. And honestly, like, he would have never stepped on Sabonis if Sabonis didn't grab his ankle.
Yeah, very
like, awful. What is he supposed to do at that point? Granted, I guess he could just fall over, but Sabonis was actively trying to grab him to prevent him from running up and being in the play because Sabonis wasn't getting up.
And he tried.
Sabonis was on the ground. He wasn't getting up. It was going to be an odd man rush on the other side of the court for an easy bucket. So Sabonis is like, I'm down on the ground. I'm taking Draymond down with me.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think that he also tried to grab Klay first.
Like, honestly, Sabonis should be also suspended for one game.
Or we could just put in Arvidas instead. Right? Sign him to one day, play for his son.
Because I would take, as a Warrior fan, I'd take that trade every day of the week.
Yeah.
If we can actually, if Sabonis is out and Draymond's out, that's your trade-off. That's a win.
And I think there is a little bit of, like, why that went down so late. Like, the suspension was, like, it was like 11 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, yep. when that suspension was announced. Like, I didn't even think it was real at first.
But there was also...
It was during the Suns and Clippers
game. There was also a play...
But nonetheless, that's so late to
There was a play before that that they actually called a personal foul on Draymond when it was actually Sabonis. They reversed it. Initially on the court, it was Draymond. Sabonis basically, like, fell over and was, like, on the baseline and, like, jumped up and kind of like pushed himself into Draymond to prevent Draymond from running down the court. Almost the same exact thing. He just wasn't on the ground that time.
Yeah.
So Sabonis was being a little chippy.
I mean, this is his style of play. He likes to get wrapped up. It's the old school, like, Dennis Rodman way of
playing. Probably learned it
like,
from his dad, to be honest.
Yeah, he gets wrapped up with these guys and tries to draw the foul, tries to get the physicality, and clearly tries to get under the skin of their opponents. And he knows what he's doing with Draymond. Like, yeah, I can get under his skin if I just keep wrapping my arms around him, getting tangled up with him.
He shouldn't have done it, because now they're going to look back on it and go, if we didn't do that, we would have won the series. And I'm calling it right now.
Just motivation.
Warriors are going to win this series.
No,
we got them where we want them. Like, that's
you got them up. I mean, look, well, okay. I want to be positive.
The Warriors won what 19 games on the road.
I know.
Historically,
no, actually, it was worse. It was 11 games.
11
games. Terrible.
19 actually would be okay.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, 11 games on the road. They won. They're a terrible road team. But
they're going to have to at least win one.
They're that good, but they could have won two. They could have won both those games.
Especially the first game. The first game.
The first game was the one they should have had, but this is they're sloppy right now. They rely on the hot. I mean, they always have, but when you have historically great three-pointers, of course you're going to be fine, but they're containing Steph really well beyond the arc. They're playing sloppy basketball. Jordan Poole is one of the most frustrating players.
The beam's going dark. They're not going to light the beam again for the rest of the season.
I hope you're right.
And those fans from Folsom and Placerville, they are live.
I told you. I've been telling everybody. They've been waiting 20 years for this.
Yeah.
This is their moment.
This is their finals.
Did you know that the Warriors and the Kings have never played in a playoff series?
Yeah. They both exist.
Their moment,
both of those franchises have existed for a really long time,
but
by the way. You'd think
they
would have met
historically
once.
They haven't been good together.
Yeah, they've never been good together.
Never.
They have historically been one's been good where the other one's been bad.
Or they've both been bad.
More often than not.
But they've never both been good.
Yeah, because the Weber era was the Warriors were terrible.
Yeah, trash. Yeah. You know, another thing that I see a lot of YouTubers and influencers, basketball YouTubers and stuff, talk about is like they talk about like the Warriors roster as if it was damn near the same roster that won the championship last year. Now, granted, some of the role players were different. I'll give you that. A couple of them were different, of course, and they played some big minutes last year. But the core of the team is essentially the same team
that won the championship last year. That bad? I mean, are we?
Yeah.
But I want to flip this back into a card situation. Draymond Green, part of the double-double rookie class in 12-13, which is a huge rookie class, first year at Prism as well. Is there any long-term investment possibilities with Draymond, or do you think because he is so hated that he'll never have value? He's got four championships, though.
He's Draymond. I mean, he fills up the stat sheet, but he doesn't go for 30. Like, when's the last time Draymond Green scored 30 points?
I think, you look at, the best, Dennis Rodman cards, that's probably his ceiling.
Well, I think what people undervalue, and if you look at it, and it may be dropping off a little bit, but he is known as the quad nickel guy, getting five and four categories. And he also is one of the leaders in plus minus. So when he's on the court, the team is winning.
Yeah.
So I think there's very few guys. I mean, he's in the – I looked last year. I don't know if this year's changed it, but career-wise, of active players, he's up there with Kawhi and LeBron and Curry for most plus minus.
But those guys have averaged – 25-30 points.
Yeah, I know.
Like Draymond, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I would say that he probably averaged 9 or 10 points a game.
Those guys are the centerpieces of those offenses when they're clicking. Draymond, and you made the Dennis Rodman comparison, but the thing that also takes Dennis Rodman to another level is that off the court persona that was so it's now mythologized where the wrestling stuff, dating, Carmelo, all
that stuff. Like help his cards is like.
I think
what I mean?
I think for Dennis Rodman it does. I think he in a vacuum like that the uniqueness of him is I think what sets him apart. The skill set is the skill set's fine, and also playing with Jordan helps. But I think the uniqueness of his personality, the wrestling stuff, the crazy hair, the crazy outfits. I think that totally is what makes his cards but, that much more valuable than, say, Draymond in the long run.
And I understand what you're saying about points, but I think the defense gets lost here. It's almost like an offensive lineman in football of, like, Trent Williams cards or Joe's cards should be selling for a lot more than they are for what they've done to help their team win. But if you don't get points on the board, then it's not, well, you know, lore of the hobby. But I guess what I was also going to make a point of saying is maybe 20 years down the line, if you had to vote anybody, like if you were getting into a fight, if you were like wanting one guy to cover in this era, if you want like one player to cover anybody, Draymond's got to be in the top five, right? It's got to be like if you're A, going into a fight and you want somebody to get your back, or you're B, you're trying to get him to cover somebody, Draymond Green's got to be in that conversation. Maybe. If not one, maybe in top five.
I don't know about, are you talking about Draymond in his prime or Draymond right now?
Prime Draymond, I think, yeah.
How many years is he off his prime, though?
I mean,
didn't
Jaren Jackson Jr. win Defensive Player of the Year?
He did.
Yeah, that's probably the guy that I'm picking right now. I mean, Draymond, you can actually see like the last 5 years, he knows what his role is on that team. He doesn't need to score, but he really, really tries to facilitate and pass, set screens, does not try to score. He actually doesn't really seem like he has the confidence. I mean, and honestly, he probably has to do with a lot of the Warrior fans who watch the games. Like, he probably, when he shoots a flat three-pointer, he probably hears the groans while he's like lining up for it. I mean, everybody's sitting there watching their TV and they're just like, don't shoot, don't shoot, don't shoot.
Well, you know, what was funny about that, I actually watch games, and when he's making it, like as a Warrior fan, we also know if he's making them, we're probably going to be doing pretty well.
This is a bold take for me, though. I don't think we win four championships without him. I think maybe we get one.
No, I don't think that's a bold take at all.
I am not discrediting what Draymond Green means to the Warriors. Yeah.
Like, we all saw it in 2016. Also, we all saw how important he was.
I'm also saying that, like, we look at Draymond Green's – if you're looking at Draymond Green's stats from 20 years from now, you're looking at his stats, and you were not a Warriors fan, you did not watch him play, you would be like – wow, like, how good was he? Was he really even that good? Because people are going to gravitate directly. They're gonna compare him to other players of that. Russell Westbrook. They're going to look at Russell Westbrook's stats and go, man, that guy was probably pretty good in his prime.
I just want to say, this is kind of off topic, but before any, I know there's already people listening going, oh, here they go, talking about Bay Area centric, always talking about which series.
We can't help where we're at.
Which series is even close to as exciting, dramatic as this one right now in the
NBA
playoffs?
From the
first
round, there isn't.
Yeah. There isn't. This is the series. This is the most enticing matchup.
I don't know, man.
That's an exciting matchup.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
It's just, the whole combo has just had me thinking about, like, where does Draymond's cards, like, go? Like, I think if you had to rank him in 20 years from now, I rank him higher than Charles Barkley all time.
No.
I don't know. That Celtics-Hawks. It's got me glued to my TV.
Yeah.
Man. I must watch TV.
You trying to see how much the Celtics can score?
The Nets-Sixers, man.
The Nets-Sixers. But the Nets have actually at times kept it pretty close.
I think of all this other series, I'd say Clippers and the Clippers and the Suns and maybe the Lakers and the Grizz.
The Suns and the Clippers are the best series besides the Warriors.
I think the Warriors go out and they get Dame Lillard and Trae Young.
We're gonna have a DSJ. Four guards and Kevon Looney.
Yeah, and I just play Nelly ball, man. Like no need to play defense. Put up a buck 80.
75 threes every single night.
And you know.
Did you somebody brought up I guess somebody asked Gary V in 2020 if they what they would do with De'Aaron Fox, and he said, I believe De'Aaron Fox is a long-term play.
Yeah, I believe, so, to quote Gary V.
Gary Nostradamus strikes again.
He's the GOAT, man.
De'Aaron Fox, GOAT. I mean, on the side, though, De'Aaron Fox is a star. I mean,
he's a great player.
I'm pretty sure he was a top three pick.
Yeah, but I think he's finally developed.
If he was saying that about a guy who was like the third pick from the bottom in the second round, I'd be like,
I'm
all there.
I guess
you
he could have picked DSJ, who was also a top pick.
Well, I mean,
or Lonzo Ball, who was also a top pick.
I know.
If he basically was like, you know who the long term play is,
Markel Fultz,
Austin Reeves.
Like he didn't say Lonzo Ball. He didn't say like who are some top guards that have been drafted the last couple years.
Well, everybody knew about Lonzo Ball.
Like, no, yeah. Everybody, if you go back to podcast number one of The Hype, by the way, guys, go listen to our very first podcast. We were all on Lonzo's. Oh,
I don't think so. I don't think I was.
We bought the shoes, man.
I don't think I was.
I didn't wear them.
You bought the $500 shoes?
I didn't buy anything.
I think they're $1,000, actually.
I didn't buy anything.
The
brand.
Company bought the $500
big
shoes.
Big Bala brand.
I wasn't a believer.
The man was a marketing genius. Let's give it up for LeVar. He was a marketing
genius.
But
not an orthopedic shoe person, because obviously his kids are having foot injuries and ankle and knees and stuff like that.
But Leanne, like they,
you know what? You guys still have them, right?
Somewhere, yeah. I think they're in the
somebody. Place. Let's go play basketball with them.
Ooh. Do I want to not walk anymore?
I was gonna say, are we gonna have like that game when Zion was at Duke when his shoe just like exploded in the middle of the court?
Nike doesn't want to talk about that.
No.
It would actually would be a pretty funny video to have me go out and sign version of these. I don't know what size they are. But if they're
maybe you can walk around the National with them.
Ooh, good call.
Okay, well, I'm pretty sure we can just go find them at like some discount shoe store,
but not the wet versions.
While you try to look for Lonzo cards,
do we think we can find them at Payless shoe store right now?
Let Joe wear them.
You can find those.
So
I'm pretty sure they're not his size.
Lonzo shoes.
Cut out the tip so his toes hang out.
A UCLA Lonzo Ball jersey.
Big Baller brand hat.
Big Baller brand hat.
Never lost.
Never lost. I actually should just walk around the National and just spew out LeVarisms.
Do you Never have lost. Any? I'm looking for LiAngelo. He was all in. He was Leaf. Leaf was all about it. I mean, wasn't there was a time where Leaf buybacks like every box had
had a ball. One of the balls.
All right. Well, speaking of ball, let's get into some baseball talk. And once again, go ahead and hit subscribe on our Mojo Break Baseball channel at Mojo Baseball on YouTube. And that's going to be your home for baseball breaks and everything baseball. But I wanted to go over 2023 Bowman comes out next week, 429. You can get spots on that 426 Wednesday at MojoBreak.com. But I wanted to look through the years of the last 10 years of Bowman. And starting with 2013, which I know me and Dan remember very well, looking at a Byron Buxton here orange, it's going for over 1,000 now, which is low compared to what he used to go for. But if you remember correctly, Dan, that was the year of Buxton and Correa madness. Two guys.
Yeah. But didn't we have Aaron Judge?
Draft.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But same design.
Same design. So this is something to consider. And you know, you see a lot of more quantity of talent in the draft versions of that year, but the biggest names out of the gate come out of Bowman. You go to 2014, which is Jose Abreu. Also, Chris Bryant, the controversial Chris Bryant, which had his first Bowman on there, but then later came out with his 2013 Bowman after the 2014. Very super confusing. But Jose Abreu is a guy I feel like, Cody, is undervalued. Has had a pretty good career.
He's had a very good career. I think there's also, like, it was really exciting at first. He was such a huge name out of Cuba, like one of the biggest names out of Cuba. But it was also like that and Puig were like back-to-back.
Right.
So you had these two massive stars from Cuba, the biggest that had come from the island in a long, long time. So I think there was that. Has had a really nice career, but started so late that I don't think he's ever going to be a Hall of Famer.
He was like 26 or something.
Right. The White Sox never really had a huge run. They had, what, one, maybe two playoff appearances with Jose Abreu on the team. I don't know. I think he's probably properly rated in the hobby. Really good career, borderline Hall of Famer, but not much.
But that card had to be. So a gold refractor we're looking at here on the slide. $900 it sold for, and that's your daddy's gold. That is a 9.5/10. That had to have been more in 2014. That had to have been like a $2,000 or $3,000 card.
Ooh, I don't know. You didn't
2014.
2014, you didn't see a lot of four figure cards coming out of products. Like
maybe like 15 if, at the most. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think what year was it that Darvish? We pulled a gold Darvish.
That was 2012.
And I think we were flipping out that like that might have been like a $2,500 card. And I mean, Darvish was like, I mean, he was the dude at that point.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's and then you go into 2015, and it's and so for you guys that are new in this hobby, there is three versions of Bowman that come out every year. We're only talking about the first release, which is the Bowman. It's called Bowman by itself, even though they do have Chrome autos in there. It's very confusing because then the second release is Bowman Chrome, and then the later end of the release is Bowman Draft. Bowman Draft typically has most of your first rounders, but they hold out some of the big names for the next year. 2015 was a tough year. It's highlighted by Carlos Rodon.
So that's former Giant great, though.
Man, 2015 across all sports was kind of looking tough, huh?
2015, yeah. I think all, yeah. Well, you had Winston
besides,
and Mariota.
Besides basketball, had a decent draft.
We actually, when we were looking at who would we highlight as the best player, I think we figured out the Chase from 2015 Bowman, Yasmani Tomas. Remember that name?
Yes.
Another guy. It was another big
White Cuban prospect.
No, Diamondbacks.
Diamondbacks at the time.
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't think he was a Chase then.
Okay.
I think he was a name that people knew.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised that this Rodon sold for $150, even though it is a blue. I think 2015, to me, worst design of all time for Bowman. But
you go to football, though. I mean, it had some good stuff. I mean, it was Topps's last year having the license. 2015.
Was it their last year?
Oh, yep, yeah, because it was Diamond and Definitive, the birth of Definitive.
Yeah, I mean, you had...
That draft is not that good, though. You look back now.
Yeah, we had Sean Mannion.
Yeah. We had the legend.
So anytime I can sprinkle in a little Sean Mannion
That's
love,
right.
I mean...
Mannion magic.
Hard
did
to...
You start going, did you guys start going heavy on Mannion the year of his rookie year?
Offseason.
I think it was the after that year. So before they drafted Goff in 16, we were like, it was between
going to be the guy.
It was we broke it down. It was between we were going to prospect on a quarterback, and it wasn't going to be Mariota or Winston because we didn't really see like the long-term value
and
in
the
that.
Value was so, it was so high.
It was already so high. Yeah. So Sean Mannion or Garrett Grayson.
And the Rams were already moving to LA.
And the Rams were going to move. They were moving to L.A., and it was pre-draft, so they had not drafted Goff yet. Mannion was a third-rounder, had a great career at Oregon State, and we really were like that. And Grayson was on the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
So they had Breeze.
But you guys knew that Rams were going to have like one of the top picks.
No,
right?
They traded down.
Oh.
They traded up.
Uh-huh. I mean, well, yeah.
They actually, I think they had like... the second pick, and they traded with the Titans to
move one up.
Yeah, and they gave him like 17 years of first round picks to move up one
spot.
Like
you guys didn't assume that they were just gonna like probably draft a quarterback.
Probably could have waited until the second pick. And got, I don't think the Titans
you,
were gonna. I don't
guys,
think that,
you guys
the funny thing is I don't think
that.
The Titans were gonna go Jared Goff, but they probably told the Rams we're going Jared Goff.
Yeah,
because I don't even think they got a.
Who did they get?
I don't not a quarterback.
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, but they had just
maybe?
They had just drafted.
Henry was the 16 rookie.
They had just drafted Mariota, right?
Right.
So they were not going to go court. Why did the Rams make that trade?
Why did the Bears trade?
But I think maybe the Rams had the third pick. So whoever was second,
yeah,
maybe they were going to go quarterback.
It was Jared Goff number one. Eagles went with Wentz number two.
That's
Chargers
right.
went with Bosa 3, Zeke Elliott 4, Jalen Ramsey 5,
loaded draft.
Ronnie Staley 6, DeForest Buckner 7th, and then the Titans went with Jack Conklin.
So they didn't even
spot.
Use that on Henry.
Nope. Jack Conklin, offensive lineman?
Offensive tackle, correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, Leonard so you Floyd,
had, you guys
Eli Apple,
over
and Harry Gray.
So you
yeah,
might
we,
give us some good.
We wouldn't, well, we wouldn't have... well, I don't know. But the Eagles, the Rams were concerned that the Eagles were going to get
yes,
Jared Goff.
That's what it was, and they end up with Wentz. By the way,
so we would have had Wentz anyway. Where, is there a difference?
No.
Wentz
is a Super Bowl champion.
Well, thanks to Nick Foles.
And yeah, Goff is a Super Bowl loser.
Derrick Henry went 45th, second round, 45th
Jeez.
Pick.
Well, So then we move on to 2016. We're back on the baseball tip. Alex Bregman. I actually like the 2016 design a lot. That's one of my favorite designs. Orange went for $2,300. He's got a couple chips under his belt. Seems kind of low for Alex Bregman, but
it's kind of high for Alex Bregman.
I was gonna say
it's a little high.
It's the trash can stink. It won't go away even after another title. It just won't go away.
I wouldn't pay that much for an Bregman. Orange.
Yeah.
Then 2017, highlighted by a blue refractor, Ronald Acuna. That might be our card, Dan.
Maybe.
$5,857 for Ronald Acuna. So I see a trend here. It's like as we get closer to modern, the cards are going higher. That one's $5,000. Is that worth it?
We traded an Acuna for a Mike Trout.
We did. I don't think we lost.
I don't think that's bad. I'm very high on
Michael
Acuna this year.
Jordan Trout.
That's right. Braves look really good. Acuna has not been like the MVP guy. Like I he's my pick for MVP, but Braves look really, really good. I don't think it's
based on
it's
the price.
High,
the next guy, is he any good?
Well,
yeah, guys,
to clarify, Cody wasn't born in the hobby at that time. That is actually from Bowman Chrome.
That's right.
The pitching one is from Bowman.
That's even crazier.
You want to find the pitching one, yeah.
That is not even the one you want.
And that's expensive as hell.
$19,000. Didn't we sell an Atomic?
You know what's funny?
I think we sold two Atomics.
In the chat the other day when I was doing my Bowman mixer on Monday, they were like, and it's probably true. They were like, somebody in the chat was saying that they feel like Ohtani's like undervalued
at 19,000.
Yeah,
I think he's about proper. Well, I think he's about right.
He was saying compared to Michael Jordan, Trout. What Trout cards are selling for?
Okay, here's the argument I'll say for Trout, and I know obviously the skill set is insane. No one can compare with Ohtani, but Trout has been doing this now for over a decade, he's been. Every single year he's good. Every single year he's the MVP.
At what point does Ohtani pass Trout?
Trout.
In a few years.
Trout's great. Love Trout.
Hall of Famer.
Great. Hall of Famer. Just him
good,
and
a good guy.
Him and Russell Wilson and their respective sports.
Now,
They may actually go in the same
Russell
year.
Russell Wilson.
They may go in the same year.
Absolutely.
Actually, Russell Wilson's so good may actually go into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Who knows?
Russell Wilson will go in the Hall of Fame a lot faster than Trout will.
Look, I know the Russell Wilson thing is a point of contention on this podcast, and I'm usually on the Russell Wilson, but do not put those two men in the same sentence.
Right, because Russell should be higher than Trout because he won a Super Bowl.
I'll tell you right now. If we're talking two sport athletes here, I'm pretty sure Russell Wilson is a better NFL quarterback than Mike Trout.
But I think if they,
I'm at a complete loss for words.
If you take Mike Trout and you have a biathlon, so it's just two sports. I think that's what that means.
Biathlon.
And they both play baseball and football. I think that you have Trout comes out on top as a better athlete overall playing football.
That is ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous.
I actually just looked it up. Mike Trout never played football.
Yeah.
Because he's so good, he didn't want to step on the field.
He probably couldn't handle it, you know?
He looks like he could play linebacker.
He can't play linebacker. Maybe running back.
Trout would have been a great running back.
Trout looks like a great athlete for baseball.
Yeah. Maybe tight end.
For baseball
and football.
No.
There is a world alternate reality where Mike Trout is a star running back. I really do believe that. He's got the right frame.
Relax. But we do know that Russell Wilson
got drafted
and can play on a big league roster.
Absolutely.
He's probably winning a gold glove, hitting 260, maybe 22 homers.
Probably would have won a World Series.
He's a winner, so no doubt he won World Series.
Well, how about this? I'm gonna say this. Okay. So say we take all the active athletes right now and we rank them. I think clearly Mike Trout in the top 10. I'd put Wilson probably 80, 90. And then I'd put Luka 300.
Okay.
300 out of all active athletes, we've officially done the greatest hits here.
I get what you're saying. Like, I could stand behind you with the Luka talk. I think 300's being a little generous, to be honest.
So
maybe 450.
Yeah.
Actually, in the spirit of 420, tomorrow, 4:20.
Yeah,
Luca,
smoke show,
4:20.
He is a good looker.
I mean, didn't even make the playoffs, man. I mean, what happened?
No,
I mean, weren't 2 months ago when they made that Kyrie trade? Wasn't it like, oh man, what's the point of anybody in the West even trying?
It is over. We don't have to rehash it. We talked about it last week.
Yeah, but Dan wasn't here, so yeah. I like to talk about it again.
Oh, God. There's one guy who was on that team that when they were doing that wasn't on that team when they were doing fine, and then suddenly they got bad.
So it tells me Luka is not a great teammate. It is Kyrie's fault. The guy who has the hardware, it's his fart. It's his fart.
Yeah, that's what happened the moment he got on that team. A big old
nice. Bad. Yep, I agree. Yeah.
Well,
I like how we're intertwined. We're talking about baseball.
We're not even close here. But again. We're talking about Ohtani, comparing him to Trout. Ohtani.
When can Ohtani pass Trout is my original question.
He already has because he's the best pitcher on their team, and he's the best hitter on their team.
Yeah, it's. I think this is the year it happens. It's a contract year for Ohtani. He's going to go somewhere next year. It's not going to – like if he ends up going to, like, New York or, hell, if he goes, you know, wherever he goes.
Ohtani on the Yankees?
No, it's the Mets.
Or the Yankees?
Mets fans are already – that I've seen an Ohtani's Mets jersey, custom jersey already.
Wow. Ohtani and Judge together?
That's what I'm saying. Like, no. If that happens, then yeah, it's over. He is the number one name.
He's going to be the number one face of baseball in the history of baseball.
I mean, I can't really argue with it, honestly, the way he's going
what are
right
the chances
now.
Chances he goes to the Giants.
Oh, it's happening, guys.
And burn them?
It's happening.
Well, it's happening.
Look, they won today.
Let's break it down how it's going to happen.
The win streak has begun.
He's going to agree to a contract.
Oh, God.
Then the Giants are going to be like, we need to do a little, we're going to kick the tires a little bit more on it. And then he's going to go sign with the Mets.
I don't care.
And the Mets are going to be like, wait, the Giants were up to something. And then he's going to go sign with the Yankees.
So the only way he stays on the Angels past this year is if they win?
They literally have to win a World Series, I think. They look better this year, but they need to win a World Series.
Okay. Are you saying that the Angels are going to be the World Series champions? Are they going to get in the playoffs?
I mean, maybe.
20% chance?
But the teams that are hot now in baseball, I mean, I've sat here with you guys for a few years. The teams that are hot now, they're not going to be the teams that are hot at the end of the year.
No, it's so early. The Pirates right now would make the playoffs. Like, it's early. It's why everyone just, if your team's not doing well, just chill.
But what about the A's?
Except the A's.
We are not turning it around.
What's the record for most losses in a season?
Matter of fact,
100 and like, 20-something. Yeah, the Tigers got dangerously close.
If you're from the Bay Area, please come out and support the boycott.
Oh, yeah. You see that? They're going to fill the stadium up for one day.
Yep. You know it.
Yep. Absolutely.
We'll show them against the Rays.
In full support of
we'll
that.
We'll show them. They're going to make money. We'll show them.
I mean, come on. Like, I get it.
It's probably reverse marketing from the organization.
But I mean, they're just going to be swimming in their buckets of money.
The whole
Scrooge McDuck out there, just like
the whole possum story is funny though.
He's gonna be
actually. Do you know what
the looking going like showed you guys?
Yeah. Do you know the new wrinkle to this possum story? Guess so. The Mets were playing the A's.
Yes.
And the possum happens.
Yeah.
And so the Mets are now in L.A. And guess what popped up on the field? A possum.
Oh my God.
So maybe it's the Mets who are bringing a possum.
Come on,
to
Mets.
Try to destroy the reputation of these teams.
I know, dude. Why are you bringing possums to the game?
They're bringing
dude.
Possums to the game.
That's messed up, bro.
That's like not even that bad.
Like, possums aren't that bad.
It'd be so much worse.
Possums look worse than
they're kind of cute.
They're pretty nasty looking.
I mean, they're just a giant rat.
They're just giant rats.
Giant rat. Yeah. What I did look
Which
at
are
is
from
like,
New York.
It looks like the pitching Bowman for Ohtani is hovering on the base around 6,700. There is an orange up there for $400,000. So, you know, might seem like a bargain for some if you got the money. $400,000 for the orange.
Undervalued.
Wait, $400,000?
Yes.
Undervalued.
I believe that he is not undervalued.
I think he's right where he should be.
I don't even know if he's right where he should be. I mean, $19,000 for that Bowman
so
Pro
do
motto.
You feel like he's overvalued then? Slightly.
I think slightly.
I mean, coming off that WBC win, I mean.
But I also, like, how many years, and I'm big Ohtani fan, love him.
Yeah.
But how many years does he really have at the level that he's performing right now? He came into the league, he was kind of like we were saying about Abreu. He didn't come into the league at 19.
Well, but he came in, though, like a top prospect getting called up. Like, he's, what, 23, 24 when he got? So you could still say, he, like, he's going to have a full major league career.
Missed a year because of injuries.
He did.
He had the old Tommy John surgery.
But he had a couple injuries, right?
His first year, there was already questions about his elbow, I believe, and they tried to do some platelet injections to avoid Tommy John. And then they ended up, that didn't work, and they ended up doing Tommy John.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've had this a couple episodes before, but are you selling Ohtani now?
No.
You got to.
I would have a couple weeks ago. I'm not now. Now I'm holding.
You really believe?
No,
that
I mean literally in that moment. In that moment, when after the World Baseball Classic, yeah, I would have sold then. We're now a month past it. I would wait till like another bump. I would wait till another run by Ohtani. He just had a huge home run.
Another bump.
I believe in him that much.
There can't be that many bumps.
Absolutely, there can.
I'm in the camp that I'm a long time holder.
Yeah,
I think Ohtani.
I'm almost convinced that now I am kind of a legacy holder on him. Yeah. That I don't really. I think he's a few years away from being in that elite.
But if you're somebody that flips a lot, then yeah, sell him now.
You know what I will say that I don't like about him is his new auto.
I don't think I've seen it.
I think it's terrible. I don't know what happened.
I think it's fine when you compare it to some of these other guys' autographs. Though.
He's probably signing a lot more because of the Fanatics deal, right?
Is it as nice as his original auto? No.
Well, here's his original auto. You can zoom in there.
He's no what's his name.
But he's not doing an initial at least though.
Is it Luis Rodriguez? He's no Luis Rodriguez.
Luis Otto Pen Rodriguez, as C-Red likes to call him.
Yeah.
I mean, he puts in the work.
If I was Shohei, I would just use the Otto Pen like Luis Rodriguez. Swear to God.
Let's see if we can find it. Yeah, it's right there. Clearly, changed it up.
I mean,
is it him?
I'll tell you.
Luca's mom signing for Shohei?
I will tell you right now, like, his original auto isn't all that great either.
Yeah,
looks better.
Just more squiggles.
Yeah, I mean he just shortened the squiggles down.
Yeah, and again it's nowhere near as bad as we see some of these kids.
So, yeah,
but
we'll
I did tell people on the stream about your theory about how like the superstars of every sport they usually have a pretty nice autograph.
But Mike Trout, his auto changed. Bryce Harper, his auto changed.
Yeah, but those ones still. I think Mike Trout's new auto looks better than his old auto. It's a little bit more iconic to me. 2019 Wander Franco. That's actually an atomic at 4,050. Seems kind of low.
Did sell before the season started.
I bet
that's up. I've noticed there were not as many new sales.
He's hitting like 700 right now.
There were not as many new
37 home runs.
Yeah, have they lost yet?
I just hit that purple in Mojo Inferno.
Oh, I know.
They're now a paltry 15-3.
Oh, man.
They finally went back to Earth.
Jeez. 15-3.
Yeah,
so he was clearly the chase then, and you could see the price there. This guy continues to surprise me. I don't know what he's up to this year. Obviously not on the Yankees, but 2020 Bowman Chrome, Jason Dominguez. It's almost like this guy, Dominguez, is like a unicorn for the hobby no matter what he does. I mean, it's almost like a put up or shut. I know he's still young. But
they're letting him
we haven't seen enough of Dominguez to justify this.
I think he was like 13 on that card.
That's true.
He's like 16 years old.
He literally just turned 20.
Yeah.
He is so young.
Like, oh man.
It's a baby.
Yeah, let's
baby
give him
alien.
Let's give him a little time.
He's like not Gonzalez. Batting well, but it's only 9 games right now.
Baby
so.
Alien doing, like Gonzalez.
And he had a couple of moments in spring that he made headlines. He had like 2 massive home runs that got some attention. So he turned things around last year. He looked good in the minors. He's still super young.
And the Yankees don't need to rush him.
No, because they're going to get Ohtani next year, too.
Heck, they might learn something because Volpe's really not performing well right now. They might be learning.
Wait. Derek Jeter Volpe.
Derek Jeter Volpe is kind of struggling.
What's his numbers
right now? They're so. I haven't looked up to date. They're not good enough that I had to drop him on my fantasy
team. It
doesn't
matter because like he's that position on that team. You have the deck stacked against you. You're screwed.
It's like left field for the Giants. Same thing. You got years before you're ever going to heal from that. 2021 was a tough year. Austin Martin seemed to be the biggest name in Bowman, who's currently struggling, if I remember correctly, Cody.
It's still a tough year, but not on the Blue Jays.
Yeah,
it's still early. It's still early.
He's Twins, right? Is he actually playing in the bigs?
No.
No.
No. Not yet.
Oh,
Well, had some injuries last year.
It's tough. Baseball's a tough game.
Twins have had a tough time lately.
Tough game. Tough to hit the ball.
Twins have had a tough time with these top prospects. Royce Lewis has been dealing with injuries, stuff like that. So they're having a tough time getting some of those guys up.
And then lastly, 2022 Ellie De La Cruz, which we weren't completely sure if this is Bowman Chrome or Bowman. I believe it's Bowman. But that's an insane price, $4,550 for a blue. I mean, that's just Ronald Acuna.
This is prospecting, and this is, I don't understand it. That dude, that guy right there, $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Abreu, legitimate ball player.
MVP, former MVP.
MVP, all-star. Yep. Pretty much a shoo-in every year. $900. $900 for a player who is the best hitter on his team in the major leagues. Ellie De La Cruz, $4,000.
Can I throw a stat at you that I knew he was good last year. 28 home runs, 47 stolen bases for Ellie De La Cruz. So, again, in the minors.
Yeah.
But that's exciting potential. That, right?
Didn't Abreu get close to winning a batting title?
He did win a batting title.
Yeah, and
an MVP,
and we're also
in a shortened season. Oh,
that's right.
But
won an MVP.
And I'm pretty sure the one that we're looking at, 2014. I'm pretty sure that's a gold.
Yes.
So we're comparing a $900 gold to a blue
right.
number to 150.
Yeah.
I mean, let's pump the brakes here. Like Ellie De La Cruz in 3 years is putting up Jose Abreu numbers, then that card's worth $150,000.
Yeah, you're right. But it won't be.
But it won't be
because
we'll move on to the next Ellie De La Cruz.
Right, exactly.
So now let me pose this question to you guys before we move on to Monopoly, the game. Not Fanatics is coming up later. But the gold refractor at $900.
Business, Daddy.
You can get five of those for the price of the Ellie De La Cruz. Is it that it's old booty in a sense that nobody wants it, or was there just not enough collectors back then? What is the actual answer? Because I mean, to this point here, to me, it seems like I would never want to hold the odds of holding a guy at multiple years and it going up are slim to none. There's very few guys that have gone up beyond their prospect year.
You look at it, and there's. You should never hold on to it. Like, honestly, like, for $4,000, we basically can say, odds state that Ellie De La Cruz is not going to have as good of a major league career as Jose Abreu.
Right.
Yeah, right?
I agree. Yeah.
I think for of those, what, 10 cards that we just looked at, 10, 11 cards, that three of them probably are worth more than they were when it first came out. I think that's about right.
Acuna,
and I guess now De La Cruz.
Maybe Bregman.
Yeah, maybe Bregman.
And I think Bregman, and I honestly think that Bregman is too much.
Yeah. He's never been an MVP.
I mean, we got to see, like, Drew Jones next week. Going to be a hot commodity.
Could be insane.
You know.
But do you strike while the iron's hot with Bowman and just sell it? I mean, Drew Jones, gold refractor auto, is going to be a high four-figure card.
Do we think it's going to be?
It is going to be like $5,000-$6,000, right?
A gold probably $10,000.
$10,000. Yeah. Okay, $10,000. I mean, $10,000. What type of career is, I mean, you're basically saying that he, at $10,000, you paying $10,000 for that card, you're like, he is going to be a generational talent, one of the best in the league at his time, a future Hall of Famer without a doubt. That is the price tag that you're putting on that card.
You're paying for championships before they happen, basically.
Well, you're paying for a Hall of Fame
and
career.
And accolades, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's just like the attention span of the hobby is.
I mean, I don't want to.
I mean, you
I
see,
want,
this.
I want everybody to keep on prospecting, keep on doing
yeah,
it. Keep,
yeah, I mean,
because honestly, I mean,
but I mean, if you would have bought Trout in 2009, you'd be doing really well.
Well, I mean, the fun part of I'll chime in with the prospecting aspect of it. It's like, if you pull one of these big names like a Drew Jones, yeah, you're gonna do well, right? But then the fun of it is you keep all these other guys that nobody wants,
right? And then
right, you keep them in the back pocket.
Now.
Yeah,
you keep the Ronald Acuñas.
Yeah.
Because I mean,
sleeve.
Yeah, in a sleeve, in the back, in a shoebox. That's what you do.
Yep. Yep. No top loader.
No top loader. Yep. They ain't worth a top
9-5,
loader.
9-5, baby. 9-5.
They ain't worth a top loader. And that's when you were getting 9-5s. It didn't matter. It
didn't matter. Yeah,
you said that 9-5 is just another day at the office.
Yeah, you wouldn't get a 9, it would be a 9-5.
I didn't even know what 9s look like.
Do you remember how much the dime bag used to cost? And never mind.
It's 419.
It is 420.
It's close. 420 somewhere.
Close enough.
Yeah. Well, when people are listening to this, it'll be 420.
That's true.
Park Place Prism Monopoly. I don't like it.
All right.
Tell us how you really feel.
So the next, we just go right into the Battle of the Hobby Titans.
Yeah, that's all I need to say.
I mean, that's,
tell us what you don't like about it.
No, just keep it at that. Just I don't like it.
Move on. I don't like it.
Like it or not like it?
Well, I kind of have to say I like it because I found one at Target yesterday.
Too many. Did you buy one?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
The $39.99 box with that gives you the game and a couple of packs.
Now, the game, is it a Monopoly board game?
I haven't opened it up yet because I kind of want to open it up for content, so I haven't opened it up. But I did find one. I found one on the shelf at Target yesterday.
I believe it is a board game. And okay, look, I think
what we should be doing is we should probably
play again.
Be playing it. If there's one thing I love Monopoly.
Look, fire up the Mojo Break Twitch stream. Let's do board games. Let's have a game night. Family game night.
Well, if we can secure some blaster bosses where each one of us can at least have one blaster boss open to play with the game, that'd be nice.
Is that how you play the game?
I have no idea.
I think. Well, I mean, it's like I would imagine it's like any traditional.
No,
like you got to build your own deck, stuff like that.
All,
but who wants to build their deck when like the Paolo cards numbered to 50 are going for just like, you know, a couple hundred less than like his Prism cards? Like, why would you want to play
people,
the game?
You're gonna see people like playing these with like these card slabs.
Yeah,
just like,
I was thinking that too.
There you go. I'm gonna
with my 101. I like Prism obviously, but I don't like that it says Monopoly on there. I think it like future value down the line. I don't think it's gonna be there. Now some say the odds are better because they didn't make as much as they did regular Prism. I don't know. I do question the
long term viability. Like when you go back to this rookie class, you're not gonna want to go for the Monopoly version. You're gonna want to go for the hobby version. That's how it's always been, right? So these are probably gonna drop.
I think you guys are
price.
Downers.
Yeah.
To me though,
I like fun, new, exciting things, and I'm pretty excited.
It's fun, but
I didn't buy any.
This is the definition of the quick flip product. Like you said, in 5 years, let's say Paolo is a generational talent. You don't want the Monopoly Prism, Paolo. You want the Prism, the traditional Prism.
The game
Paolo
is like super fun to play.
Yeah, it's Monopoly. I know what I'm getting with Monopoly. It's going to take 3 hours, and we're going to go. You know what? Forget it. Just let's go to
someone,
bed.
Someone's too long. Someone's getting pissed off and flipping over the board.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have. You know what? It would have been better if it was Sorry. So it had like the player's name and it said Sorry, or Kerplunk. And it'd be like Kerplunk. You know, Kerplunk version, Sorry. Ooh. Version.
NBA Prism.
I could have a Luka Doncic card that says Sorry, and then I could put an ass
we
on
don't
there.
Know.
Like Sorry ass Luka
we
Doncic.
Don't know if this is the only board game Prism release.
Yeah.
Shoots and Ladders Prism coming
that's
soon.
That's, like that's actually where I go.
Ooh, Candyland Prism. Let's
Candyland Select.
Candyland.
Yahtzee.
Actually,
Yahtzee National Treasures.
Well, that now we're just having fun. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, no, really, what this needs to lead to is NBA Prism cards against humanity. I think that's where this is all leaning to. Yeah.
Do you think Panini was like, we needed to remind people that 2 years ago we did have a Monopoly?
No,
no. I think
because remember
okay. Look. If you're going to do a crossover Prism into a board game, what board game do you do that crossover with?
It's the synonymous
that
board game.
Monopoly is basically Coca-Cola of board games,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So next we need
Checkers.
Like,
Checkers is who makes Checkers?
Yeah, you can't do like there's no license for chess
Checkers, you know? Yeah,
or chess.
It's like going like marbles.
But what is the most widely known board game of all time?
Right.
Is checkers.
Yeah, chess.
Or chess. You go chess to the park, they have chess boards. They don't have Monopoly boards out in the park.
Well, they do for if you live in San Jose, in the Santa Clara area, they do.
Oh.
But we're the only place that has.
No, so, yeah, I think you look for the biggest name that you can attach the Prism name to, and it's Monopoly. Yeah. I mean, honestly, Monopoly and probably second is Candyland.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
What about Jenga?
Yeah, hungry. What about hungry, hungry hippos? Hungry, I know we can go. We can go forever.
Yeah, hungry, hungry hippos.
What if you did Jenga and you had the players on the boards and then?
I'm really This is a struggle to really think of like one that will work with the.
Monopoly is the right way.
Brand.
I mean, they could have got McDonald's involved too. I mean, it could have been all kinds of stuff.
Oh, jeez, we don't. We already know. We already know what putting cards in Happy Meals does. You put Prism cards in Happy Meals. You are never getting a Big Mac.
I honestly, if you know the Monopoly story with the McDonald's promo.
Oh yeah,
I
just watched that video.
You would probably try to remove yourself from doing some type of collaboration based on that, because that wasn't great press. I mean, that was bad stuff.
One of the most rigged contests
they
of all time.
They haven't came out with a Monopoly McDonald's in a while, right?
I think they'll never do
off
it again.
The heels of that documentary, probably not.
Speaking of Netflix, I don't know, off topic here, I binged the whole entire season of Beef, and it's a great show.
I still gotta watch it.
You watched it yet?
I haven't seen it.
I'm really wrapped up in Succession.
Yeah. It's good.
Santino's in Beef.
You're right.
Oh, then I'll be watching it because anything Santino does is
Dan, I agree
absolute
with you.
Gold.
He's only in like three episodes.
Succession kind of is taking up too much emotional bandwidth for me to
get invested
in any other show.
I mean, honestly.
What channel is this on?
HBO. I mean, if you have not seen it, I'm going to go out on a limb. Probably the best drama show I've ever seen.
It's the best show on TV right now.
I mean, it might be the best for me ever. Ever.
It's good.
Best drama.
Best drama.
Does it take place in modern era?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Very modern.
Well, speaking of modern, we're getting a Battle of the Hobby Titans, as you guys have probably heard the news that Panini is suing Fanatics for poaching employees and using some trade secrets. Give us the gist of this, Cody, of what it is, what these tweets have said from Paul Lesko, which I advise you to go follow him on Twitter. He's a hobby lawyer in a sense. I think he does more than just that, but he always is digging up data on the hobby and showing some court cases. And there's an interesting one.
Getting back to Paul Lesko, the most entertaining summaries to any court cases on Twitter.
Yep.
An absolute must follow. Even if you're not in the hobby, really, really, really good follow. Probably one of my favorite follows in the Twitterverse.
Yeah, he is totally a must follow. And yeah, is both like very well versed in all this. It is like the expert sort of hobby legal guy on Twitter, and I think genuinely enjoys like going through all this stuff and combing through it. He did a huge thanks to him and for combing through all this stuff because it is a lot to digest. But essentially, and I'll put up the slide if you're watching at home. But yeah, the lawsuit is filed to halt the illegal raiding of Panini's employees by several former high-level and trusted Panini employees and their new employer, Fanatics, quote unquote. Something we talked about last week. What's going on with Panini? All these employees are leaving. What is happening? They're building a facility in Dallas. And now we see that Panini is ready to fight back. In the span of a week, I'll just quote him, apparently, in the span of a week, Fanatics allegedly improperly poached dozens of Panini employees who will be, quote, necessarily using the confidential information and trade secrets they learned at Panini to perform their jobs on behalf of Fanatics. Each former employee allegedly had agreements with Panini, NDA agreements, you would imagine, and also within 1 week, 34 Panini employees left for Fanatics, allegedly. They believe that these recognitions, quote, were coordinated, unlawful, done in tandem with Fanatics, and calculated to inflict the most harm on Panini. We have been sort of speculating, what does this mean? What's going on behind the scenes? And I think there are essentially two scenarios. One is these guys left and Panini is saying, well, you obviously went against your NDAs. There are trade secrets. you're basically going to say something that either Panini did, that there's been allegations all throughout the last couple of years of whatever it may be, juice boxes, people getting a benefit, whatever it may be, and that they're going to spill the beans, or the opposite, that Panini is ready to, if they're going down, they're taking the entire hobby down with them, that they know that those guys were, in fact, you know, pulling the strings on things. We don't know. Again, all of this speculation, we have no idea, but it does feel like somebody knows something that is going to do a lot of harm.
Maybe Panini's like, bruh, stop taking our people.
I love
the in-depth and hypotheticals, but maybe it's like actually as basic as, dude, yeah, stop that.
Where's and you card? Know what? And here's the thing. We all want it to be the most exciting, salacious thing.
Yeah,
but in the long run, it probably is literally just you sign an NDA. You said you're going to go against the NDA. You're going to the rival. We're going to try to put a stop to it. I think it might be as simple as that.
Fanatics just wants to know how Panini sausage is made, basically, right, is what they're doing. They're trying to figure out the ingredients that made Prism, that made National Treasure successful, and they're hiring these guys to have them show them the way, is my opinion on this whole thing. Also, yes, it's a chess move in just the beginning. I'm saying it right now. This is just the beginning of a war that's going to probably rage on for 2 to 3 years. And obviously there's one team that's well more equipped than the other, but the other one still can kick back and fight back. I mean, I think what you're going to see, and this is my prediction, I think this is going to send ripples of the next rookie class. There's probably going to be some exclusives. I would say 2 to 3 of these big quarterbacks coming out of the next rookie class, probably going to be exclusive autographs for Panini. Wembanyama, probably going to be exclusive. Probably going to be exclusive to Fanatics, not Panini, for the quarterbacks. You're also probably going to see Wembanyama or a name like him signed to an exclusive for Fanatics, which means just Prism base, no autos, Impeccables affected, National Treasures is affected.
And I get what you're saying, but you don't think Panini is hip to this? Like, you think Panini's just going to, like, lay down and not try to also bid up? I mean, at the end of the day, these players have agents, and they will essentially go to the highest bidder.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially with these NIL deals. I mean, we get agents sending us emails every week to try to get appearances for their athletes. So, yeah, it's like, I'll give you $50 on auto. I'll give you $60 on auto. I'll give you $70 on auto. I'll give you $80. I mean, at that point, now the autos are now $800 per player per auto, and the prices get affected for the hobby. So we'll see how this plays out. This is just the beginning of it. Fanatics probably was doing this as another way to get Panini to sell. Panini doesn't seem like they want to sell. They're not agreeing on the terms. They're like, we're going to take your employees. Now maybe you'll sell. I mean, that's probably the end game here. Now this court case is probably like, Panini's like, we're not going down without a fight. And it happened quick.
Blasting Tom Petty in the Panini headquarters right now.
Free falling?
No, won't back down.
Could have gone either way.
Wow. I was trying to go a little
walked
more.
Right into like, that
trying
one.
To go a little more positive, but like.
All negative vibes of Panini headquarters.
Wow.
Running down a dream?
Yeah. No, I was going more for won't back down, but hey, free falling also.
it also applies.
Depends on the day.
Depends on which side you're working here.
I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, I would like both manufacturers to find a way to make products, because it's only better for the hobby to have competition, healthy competition. Everybody tries to compete against each other and make products better. But right now, it's getting a little murky out there.
Yeah, it's getting dirty.
This isn't the last thing we're gonna hear. I think exclusives are gonna fall into play. Exclusives were happening already before this because of the NIL deals. These companies are forced to sign these guys early now because, you know, other companies can now sign these kids when they're in college, which wasn't the way that it was before. So it's getting real crazy out there, and we'll follow with what's going on and see if what's your guys' prediction? Do you think Fanatics is going to make licensed NBA and NFL products before Panini's deal runs out, or is it just not going to happen?
My answer is no. It does not seem like Panini is willing to give it up.
I don't think Panini is going to give up. I think they're going to keep on fighting, and it's not going to be beneficial for them in the long run. I mean, they're in a really tricky situation where they are always going to be going against the clock. Like, the longer it goes, the less they're worth. Their IP is always going to be worth something, and I don't know how much they value their IP. Probably a lot. That's probably why we have not seen a deal done, is they probably value the name, the lines like Prism and National Treasures and Immaculate and Flawless, which they should. But we just don't know how much they're valuing.
Well, I mean, it seems as if with this counter case that they're like, they're angry. They're ready to fight. They're ready to fight this thing to the end now.
Yeah, so what do you think happens in the next 6 months? Do you think this is the first of many lawsuits that we are going to see between these two manufacturers?
I mean, they're going to be starting to scramble for players. I'll tell you that much. I know that. I know that they're going to be trying to get exclusives. Both companies are going to try to get.
And that exclusives are bad. They're bad for the collector. It's bad for the end user. That is not beneficial for our hobby.
Not at all.
And the thing is that. That's what I think Fanatics just ends up doing, is kind of like what they're doing with the employees, of just like, look, we're just going to hire all your guys until you got nothing left. We're just going to hire every big incoming rookie until there's no one left, because why, if you're an agent and you don't know anything about this industry and you just are like, all right, let's look at trading card deals. One of these companies is going to be taking the license of basically every single sport in the next couple of years. And the other one's losing him. Well, you should obviously sign with the one that's going to have everything.
Yeah, no, I get that, but at the end of the day, it comes down to money. So, like,
right.
If Panini just goes up to these players that are coming into the draft and goes, here, we know that you are getting other offers. Here is a blank check. You write down what you want, and we'll make it happen. Right.
Well, and it was different. I mean, I rewind back to 13-14 Upper Deck. That was the last year that they were able to. They had lost the license already. I think they'd lost the NBA license around 9-10-ish, I believe. So they were producing collegiate products for 3 years after that, using North Carolina Jordan, Steph Davidson, all these colleges, Navy on David Robinson. But then Panini's like, we're signing the colleges now. So that left Upper Deck to not make any.
Yeah,
any,
but we can't compare Upper Deck of that era and Panini of this era. Those two companies substantially were in different financial situations.
Right, but you also had companies that were closer maybe in revenue at that point compared to where Fanatics is compared to Panini.
Yeah.
It's Fanatics is 100 times larger than Panini.
Well, I mean, we... Yeah, yes, but we don't know. There's probably more checks and balances when Fanatics goes and makes an acquisition.
Right.
Where Panini might be like, there's less checks and balances and they can make decisions a lot quicker.
Sure.
Because there's probably less thumbs ups that they need to get in order to make something happen.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But unlike Upper Deck, I believe Panini doesn't have the collegiate. So they can't. If they lose the license, I don't think they can do anything as far as players, unless we do silhouettes and things like that. So something to stay tuned.
Monopoly, bro.
Yeah, well, you got Monopoly. Yeah, I don't know if that they could make cards in a board game. I don't
honestly,
know.
Honestly, I don't know a lot about trademark law, but I really feel like doing, I think it falls more under the TCG category than it does the sports card category.
That might be.
So I think they can make.
Oh, jeez.
That might be it.
They can make.
I didn't even think.
They may be able to make
Remember
collaboration TCG, but as long as there's a game attached to it, they could just keep on
remember
making
what Upper Deck did with them big slabs, and they were able to put the NBA uniforms on them?
Yeah.
Or the shoes, Prism shoes too.
Yeah, not card regular. Not sports card regular.
If anybody's seen that new Tetris movie, there's literally the entire.
Spoiler alert?
It's like 20 minutes in the movie. It's not really spoiler alert. And it's also just knowledge you can find on Wikipedia. But the whole crux of it was that the guy who like got the Japanese license was like, oh, I own the handheld gaming license. They're like, what the hell's handheld gaming? Because Game Boy wasn't a thing yet. So that's exactly what I think they're doing. God, I even think that's exactly what Panini's doing.
If you
like,
see what they've done.
The trading card game license.
Funko Pops, Prism. Prism
still,
shoes.
Yes, we have the toy. And
Monopoly.
Trading card game.
So they already been trying. They already knew they were going to lose this. They've been trying to find
smart.
Other categories.
Yeah, you're smart. Right.
So
yeah,
there exactly. is a good chance that the reason why they are not caving into this is that they see a pathway to be a profitable
with their IPs.
Company.
I mean,
with
what?
Their IPs.
Tops is making NHL stickers, right? Like, so they still, like, there is a chance where this can coexist.
Imagine. Well, and if you actually go back, this reminds me of even back in the history, and I believe this is on Wikipedia. If you look up Tops, I want to say it was around the 70s or 80s, and I don't remember correctly, but Topps had the MLB license, and I think it was Fleer that did not have it anymore, and Fleer started making stickers as opposed to trading cards, or they were marketing the gum more, and it was like you're getting it. So there was everybody's been trying to skirt the exclusivity one way or the other to still get into the collectible market. Yeah.
Now, the only thing I'll throw a wrench in is that Fanatics, so there's a lot of smart people there, who understand how this game works, and I would be surprised if they did not, if they overlooked this. Maybe they did, and that's what Panini's counting on. But I would be kind of surprised
if Panini
swooped in.
Or
on
Panini
it
was
they
like, "This is our pathway. This is our avenue. This is how we're gonna."
Because you can't get an exclusive.
Yeah,
or,
and
Fanatics just went. That's fine. It's not gonna.
Yeah, exactly. And if Fanatics swooped in and blocked that, Panini would be like, "Okay, let's go ahead and figure out the next path." Yeah. They can't block every pathway.
Yeah, they can't. One thing I wanted to say real quick too is like off coming, just building off of all that you guys are talking about. So in the future. Say like a hype guy like Wembanyama or the next LeBron James, whoever that person, that player is, the only way to get his Prism card is to buy the Pop Funko.
Yeah, or I was gonna say, C-Rads, it's 24/25, and you know we're breaking a case of Monopoly 12 boxes. We're gonna random the boards off at the end of the game. You know, 12 of you are gonna get boards.
Get a big
revolution Monopoly.
The dice is gonna be random off separate than the board.
One galactic board in every 12 boxes.
I ain't laughing because that's probably what we're gonna
it's
be doing.
Exactly
so
what's
like,
happening.
This isn't funny.
What are you guys doing? What do you mean? What are you doing with the board? Are you going to random that off? I don't know. We're going to donate
spots
the kids.
Are almost gone in Donruss Parcheesi.
Yeah,
get it now,
man. Not, so we will see.
It's not funny. It's not funny.
Could be reality.
By the way,
because that is actually, I'll tell you right now. If we do see another collaboration similar to this, and it's more centered towards TCG. This is the pathway they're going.
Yeah.
If you and you joked about it, if we do see another Hasbro game that is like, I don't know if Candyland is a Hasbro game, but let's just say for sake of argument, Candyland Select, and you're using the IP with another collaboration, and now it is a board game or a TCG. This truly could be. What we're going to see from Panini going forward.
We just unlocked it on this podcast, y'all.
Playing cards. You get the ace, Bronny James, or the king, Bronny James.
Ooh.
Parallel. With optic design.
With it, yeah. And you could play with them, but they're playing cards.
Sit here and joke about it. I think Panini thinks that this is going to be a viable option.
Well, why not? They got to try things.
No, sure. And you know. It very well could be. Like,
I think Prism Monopoly shows it absolutely is.
It's hot. You go on Twitter and most people are talking about.
It's the product people are talking about right now.
Yeah, it is. It is. Honestly, I've seen more people talk about Prism Monopoly than I've heard them talk about Prism regular.
Yep. Well, and that's all we got for today's show, guys. Check us out at mojabreak_com on Instagram and Twitter for all the latest news, your breaks, everything. We got to have our baseball channel kicking off next Tuesday, guys. Make sure you join the Bowman 2023 Bowman Jumbo.
Before we go on, we don't have time for the other lawsuit? We don't have time for it?
Oh, the
we don't have time for that one?
That's right.
What a lawsuit.
I'll let everybody go look it up. We're a family show, okay? So I get why we didn't want to touch that one. But hey, if they lose licenses, this could just be like, hey, look, we were going to sue you guys, but we'll just make them officially licensed. Why not? I'll
just say rated rookie Mia Khalifa.
No, it's X-rated rookie.
X-rated rookie.
Borrowing some designs from Panini, but I'm sure you could find them on eBay.
Not borrowing.
Not even stealing designs.
Because borrowing insinuates that Panini basically gave the thumbs up.
Yep.
I think it was a definite thumbs down if it would have came to Panini headquarters. Hey, we're going to go ahead and do this little... This is not the collaboration I think they're going for.
Porn cards? A-okay. Don't think anyone...
I'm actually surprised that they are on eBay, though. I know they're not completely X-rated in a sense, but they're pretty dang close. Yeah. So I'm surprised that they are finding their home on eBay. I know Benchwarmer's been around and been successful, well, somewhat successful for a while, but... Yeah, that's another whole other court case. Look that
this
up.
This is a completely random box.
Completely random box.
This is a completely random box.
That guy seemed like
we're gonna go ahead and take these cards back now.
I wonder if that guy's gonna break his stuff on Whatnot too. Anyways, we'll see you guys on the next week's show. But make sure you guys follow the Mojo Baseball channel. Also, join in on the giveaway on Tuesday of next week. Also, this Friday, eBay Live. We're gonna be doing some low price basketball singles. Doing some box breaks, talking basketball. It's going to be an all basketball show on eBay Live this Friday at 2:00. So join us. Actually, if you go to our link tree on Instagram, you can go ahead and bookmark our eBay Live and join us on eBay Live. And we'll see you guys next week on The Hype.